Listeners, here at the Major Spoilers HQ, we've been subscribers to Loot Crate for years. I love all the geeky things that come with the monthly subscription box service. My wife loves the pop culture things that come with the monthly crate. And our kids love all the toys and fun things that the monthly Loot Crate brings to our door. MajorSpoilers.com is full of pop culture and geeky goodness, which is why we're happy to have Loot Crate as a sponsor for this week's episode of Critical Hit. If you don't know how Loot Crate works, every month there's a different theme, and all items are curated around that theme. Themes are inspired by major movies and video game releases, as well as pulling from your pop culture franchises that we all know and love. This February, this month, Loot Crate has braved the dangers of Alexandria and bribed some mercs with chimichangas to bring you the finest loot this side of the afterlife. This month's theme is dead and reaches across genres to bring you five exclusives, including a t-shirt and two figures to celebrate new episodes of The Walking Dead and Deadpool's solo film that's out right now. It's so good, the Loot Crate. For less than $20 a month, you get 4 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items, and a whole lot more. If you want to get in on the dead-themed Loot Crate, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to subscribe and receive that month's crate. If you wait too long and that cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. You're not getting anything. So, make sure to head to lootcrate.com. That's lootcrate.com/critical. lootcrate.com/critical. And here's the best part. Enter the code CRITICAL to save 10% off any new subscription. Thanks, Loot Crate, for sponsoring this episode of Critical Hit.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading and sharing this episode with a friend, the people at your gaming store, that person on the bus, or even that stranger that you just met in the men's room. This is Critical Hit.
Hey, you want to see something cool?
Not creepy at all.
Yeah, there's nothing going to be going wrong there.
You want to listen to a show about magic?
Was that Paul Lynn?
I'm a big fan of Templeton.
There you go.
In any case,
hey,
yes.
Rodrigo, there you are.
Hey, man, what's up?
Not a whole lot.
Yes. So, last time
on Critical Hit,
Mario Lopez.
That
was almost perfect, and then that.
I'll accept it. Yes. It's. Whenever you, I've started grading on a curve, so I just take out the outliers.
Oh yeah.
Because otherwise,
so you guys,
I ruined the curve.
Yes, you guys did pretty well. So what did happen last time?
We were on a boat.
Yes.
We were on a boat and getting to know each other.
That's
maybe
right.
Too well.
Yep. That's so after spending months together on a boat, our friends finally arrive at their destination. Somewhere in there, they did arrive at Eel Island, but it was nothing too memorable happened there. It is just like a waypoint between the two places.
We stopped so Zach can get his ice cream cone, basically.
Yep. quick stop at Little America. While you guys were on your trip, let me look at something. Where is that thing? Oh, here we go. Randus can have had a look at, Little Sparkle's belt. Mm-hmm. And upgraded it to a level 20 diamond cincture.
Ooh, fancy.
Even schmancy.
What does that do?
Okay, the bell holds one diamond, and you gain a plus one item bonus to fortitude. At level 20, it holds two diamonds and a plus two item bonus.
Fancy.
Utility, at will, minor action. You spend a healing surge. One diamond on the belt cracks and darkens, becoming worthless. Each time a diamond is expended in this way, the belt's item bonus is reduced by one to a minimum of zero. If there are no unexpended diamonds on the belt, you can't use this power. After an extended rest, each expended diamond is restored. So you basically get to do it one more time, and also the bonus increases by one.
And I still regain 25 hit points when I use it?
It's always a healing surge. So whatever your healing surge value is.
Gotcha. So actually that went up, so I should take note of that. All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So now you get a plus two item bonus. Which is important because it's not an enhancement bonus, so it still stacks with your next slot item. And if you use a diamond, that decreases by one until you've run out of diamonds. And now you get to do that basically twice per day.
Thank you very much, Randis.
No problem.
And while he's at it, since he's seen them before, he can also whip up some Boots of Elvenkind for Orym at level 17.
I remember those.
Yeah. So Orym can pick up some level 17 Boots of Elvenkind.
All right.
So at level 17, the property is a plus 4 item bonus to stealth checks.
See? Boots of Elvenhide, Matthew.
Yep. And utility power, illusion, daily. You can use it as a move action. You move up to your speed and you are hidden during the move.
Nice.
And that is hidden under my house rules, not invisible and silent, which is something else.
Hmm. Thank
so
you,
we
Randis.
Will be actually arriving at the southern continent?
Yeah, you guys still have a ways to go, so you guys can talk about it, but you're past the midpoint, definitely.
Then at some point, maybe when we're having dinner, Little Sparkle will bring up naming in the southern continent. When we arrive, basically, you guys should kind of maybe not introduce me so that I can use the right name for the right circumstances, because some places I'm going to want to go with Mayo Yulo, and some places I'm going to want to go by Little Sparkle, and you won't necessarily know which is which. And for that matter, everyone should use full names whenever possible. Sakara, you don't have to use all your titles unless you really want to. But second names are going to be important, because otherwise the implication is that if you just use your first name, people think that you're saying you should know who I am. You should, because I'm famous enough that I don't need a second name.
Okay.
Well, we've saved the world how many times?
Yeah, no one knows who you are here. And that's probably not the kind of attention that we want to be like, some big shot just rolled into town.
Yeah. I think maybe you should probably take point on most social interactions here, perhaps.
That probably is a good idea.
Yes.
Any other questions?
So,
okay. Oh, go on.
How far inland would the Serpent's Coil there?
Salamanders.
The Salamanders' Coils, their headquarters?
Give me a second. Let me bring up the handy-dandy map that Rodrigo sent.
Yay.
Yeah, you should actually have it in your journal here on Roll 20.
Mm-hmm.
Even better.
Check into that. No, just her?
Yeah, just her.
Oh, okay.
So I do. Sweet. Let me zoom in a bit. So the Salamander Coil is based in New Mawakal, which is fairly... Actually, which way are we coming in? Are we coming in through the desert or the peninsula?
You'd be coming in
from the north. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. So yes, the Salamander's Coil is based in New Mahuacal, which is going to be a fair bit south from where we're going to want to make land. So I would actually suggest that we go over the Vulture River and make a stop at Monster Town to gather some intel before we stop in at New Mahuacal. We can catch a train from there and probably keep the Proud Baroness hidden because we're not going to want to take her further inland, I think, unless you really want people fighting over her.
Probably best if we don't.
I'm sorry, did you say Monster Town?
Yeah.
Why is it called Monster Town?
Oh, I'm really glad you asked. Because it's filled with monsters.
And why are we stopping there?
They're friendly.
Friendly monsters. Oh, okay.
Well, sort of. They know me and my league, so I can probably, you know, I mean, they're kind of, some of them are kind of more cranky towards outsiders than others. Like I said, we shouldn't probably fly the Parrot Baroness in because it's filled with monsters and truants and they might try to shoot it down. But if we park it on the river or, you know, have it drop us a few miles out and walk in, we should be fine. And I can get some intel there, which we're going to want because I've been gone for months at this point. So I honestly have no idea what's been going on.
Hmm.
Okay.
Seems wise.
But the good news is that the coil shouldn't have any presence in Monster Town.
I fail to see the reason for the reticence. It's not as though we haven't encountered monsters already. And dispatched them.
Hey, well, no dispatching of the monsters here. They all, A, used to be people, and B, are mostly reasonable.
Used to be people?
Yeah. Remember when we were talking about the whole lunar situation?
Yes. Yeah.
So these were all like, it was a normal town, but the coil decided to leak some, I don't know, lunar alchemical moon juice into their water supply and food supply, and they all kind of went weird. I think the idea was that they were going to try to weaponize the whole process, but my league helped the people at least remember who they were and who their loved ones were and that the guilds were responsible for what had happened to them. So they're ostensibly good guys and really hate the guilds. So that's why lots of truants hang out there.
Yeah, nice.
Excellent.
So Monster Town it is.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan.
Cool.
I'm just pointing out Monster Town.
Yeah. Sounds neat.
So, Little Sparkle can try to convey the way to go to Randus. It's not too difficult. But it is kind of, it takes some translating since obviously these continents don't have a lot of contact. You know, the nautical nomenclature of one continent is not necessarily, doesn't match up exactly. So it takes a while, but they roughly figure out and eventually you guys can see land off in the distance.
Where Randa says starboard, she says,
yes. I like to think it's more articulate than that.
It's not about like aft or starboard or stuff like that. It's like parallels and meridians. Like they have completely separate ideas of where things are because Nobody that you've met so far in the world of Critical Hits sees the world of this vertex as one complete thing. There's like continents, but the continents are so far away from each other that nobody can really interact.
Might as well be another country.
Might as well be another universe.
Another planet.
Yep.
So where Randa says Meridian, she says
We have a new global context due to our dimension hopping.
Land ho, guys.
Yay.
What did you call me?
He called you a guy.
I still might be offended. Ah, well. Sorry. Yes.
All right. So, we'll want to go ashore. Mm-hmm. I'll stand on deck if you want to fly on the lower side so I can scout, make sure that nothing, I don't know, they haven't sent up any anti-flying ship weapons. I don't even know what they would have here. But, and yeah, want to fly basically south to, until I tell you to, and then we'll try to make land or do those cool rope things that you had before that let us land without the ship landing.
Well, so let me throw this out at you. Monster Town is right on the Vulture River, so
we could just sail there.
And these rivers are really big. I mean, when you look at that map of the central continent I send you, that is about the size of Asia.
Oh, all right. I was not sure of the scale there. Fair enough.
So those rivers are massive.
All right, then she'll say, why don't we touch down and sail the Vulture River until we hit Monster Town? We can just pass this off as a regular ship.
All right, so Randus brings the ship down, and the Baroness once again pretends to be a normal ship, which is difficult on account of not having any sails or anything, but... at least it's not flying. As you approach land, you see that you are, in fact, heading towards a delta. And there are a handful of ships kind of going around the coast, and some of them are going into the river. They appear to be using their actual, you know, full-on sailboats. Are obviously using the wind to go against the current, since the current goes in the opposite direction towards the sea. Since the Baroness is self-propelled, she doesn't have to, you don't have to sail it or anything, but as long as it's on the water, it is kind of fighting the current.
Yeah.
Self-propelled, and you don't want to overwind it, because if that mainspring goes...
That'd be bad.
That he is more correct than Randus might want to point out. So, this area is populated. There are kind of these multiple little what appear to be fishing villages and kind of port towns all down this way.
Are any of these places that I know that I might be able to check in before we hit Monster Town, just to make sure Monster Town is still how I left Monster Town?
You might be able to. These places are pretty small, and kind of what one of the things that being on the same river as Monster Town affords them is kind of a freedom from the guilds. So, not obviously not complete, but it also kind of makes these places a little bit more naive about what's going on in the rest of the country or the continent. So most of the people that you've encountered in these sort of places before are kind of out of it as far as like any sort of current events. You can find out about specifics in Monster Town, assuming something big has happened.
Fair enough. But I might just stop in at one of the places just to make sure, like, there wasn't a giant guild run on Monster Town and that killed everyone.
Yeah, it's going to take you guys more than a day to get there. Docking someplace is not crazy, especially because, I mean, it's also not crazy for you to dock at the very first port that you find, since you guys have been on this freaking boat for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
probably really bored of whatever food we had on that boat.
Yep. Oven also, granola. Yep. And fish.
Yeah.
At least they were good fish.
So we'll say that a ways in, towards evening, you guys find a port in the river. It's a small town. Basically, the biggest thing in the town is the port. It appears that most people here are either survive through fishing, or actually, like, this is a pretty kind of jungly area, so it's entirely possible that, you know, between hunting and harvesting fruit trees and stuff like that, that's like enough of a complement to fishing. There doesn't seem to be any like straight up agriculture from what you can see.
So pretty hunter-gatherer.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the thing is, like, this area with the delta and all the rivers and everything like that is like really bountiful. So it's like, it's not a hard scrabble existence around here to be a hunter gatherer slash fisher.
Cool.
It's just, you know, kind of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Most of these appear to be humans, although you do spot monsters. A few Kenku. Yes, but don't hear little sparkle hear you say that.
No, I was talking about the humans. Hey. I was talking about the humans.
Uh-huh. Oh, as being monsters. Cool.
How can one who has seen so much still be so very provincial?
Osakar.
So you guys dock. Nice.
And we get off the frickin' boat!
Land, sweet land.
Yeah.
Eh.
Cut's been pulled away once or twice on the journey.
Oh, you get to have fun vacations and other planes.
My name's Cat, and I get sucked into hell dimensions to play cards with the devil.
I'm sure I haven't played cards with the devil. I am not looking forward to that one.
Your new weapon is a golden fiddle, Hazard.
Hey, that means he won.
He's right.
Multiclass into bard.
I don't have the charisma.
Right. Still say the devil song was better.
Should probably work on that whole charisma thing before we have to, you know, fiddle off.
What's the likelihood of encountering someone of mystical or magical or druidic abilities immediately off the ship? Would that be an incredibly unusual Gasparuni sight?
The thing with people from druidic orders is that, in fact, encountering any of them at any point, except in very specific locations, is always a quote-unquote Gasparuni sight.
Indeed. So immediately bonding with the Earth would probably gain attention.
Sure, but you can go do it over there.
All right. Gonna do that.
Go do your weird stuff in the corner.
Sakaar will find a place where he is not immediately going to be killed, Earthstride, and attempt to commune with the spirits of the area. Hey, okay. Guys, how's it going? Wait, that's Rams. I'm sorry. I'm playing the wrong character.
All right, so Sakaar does that for a little while. What does everyone else do?
Stretch.
Little Sparkle will attempt to get some food and kind of casually chat with people about news in Monster Town.
Get my land legs back.
Yeah, the weird thing about the Baroness is that it's not like being out at sea. You know, it's like, you know, if you've been on a boat for a while, you kind of get this thing when you walk back on land where you're like randomly like flexing your knees because you're used to compensating. The Baroness is like a weirdly different situation. There's kind of like this constant vibration to it. And when you're out of it, like everything, even if people are talking, even if there's people around or noises and like frogs and, you know, things making noise, it feels weirdly quiet Even though you don't really hear it when you're on the Baroness, you just kind of feel it. It feels like you're not feeling that vibration anymore. Okay. This is something that you only really notice if you spend a lot of time there. But you guys
so I'm getting my land ears back.
Yep.
Yes.
Big pointy land ears.
They're under a hat.
Yeah. I'll probably mostly trail behind Little Sparkle as she does her thing, kind of try to learn of the land.
She's being nondescript, and he's following her around.
Yeah. How out of place are Eldrin and or people with mechanical arms in the southern continent?
Wearing my hat and with my glasses on.
I
look no different than those other people.
I mean, honestly, in the southern continent, Eldrin would be as out of place as, say, if you were in Chicago and you saw an Eldrin.
All right.
There's an Eldrin who dances on the corner down by my workplace.
Sometimes
he spins a sign.
Yeah.
He's got pointy ears and enormous blue eyes. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, there you go. That's some urban arcana stuff. But
this time of year, there's a woman right across the street who's all green with a sign that says, "Do your taxes here." It's weird.
People with mechanical arms might be slightly more common insofar as people have heard of people with mechanical limbs, but they're also not common. And might draw attention to themselves.
Not heard of Eldrin?
No.
Okay.
Is it something that Randus can, like, does he have a cloak or something that covers it to where he can try and pass unnoticed?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I honestly don't know.
Didn't you wear a poncho that one time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a cape.
Yes.
Sure, he can hide it, and most of the time it passes normal scrutiny. You know, I'm like,
Excuse me, is your elbow ringing?
Yeah. There's checks for it, assuming that somebody would be suspicious of it.
To see if he's hiding a weapon.
But yeah. That's the thing, is like somebody might discover his weird arm if they're, you know, being like, oh, there's a guy who is like specifically covering his arm with a poncho. He might be holding, you know, a knife or something. I mean,
if he covered both arms,
then they think he's holding two knives.
Oh, well, that's a terrible theory. And is being armed going to alarm anyone?
Is a what? No, probably not around here. Like,
just draw attention.
Yeah,
we're basically in frontier territory.
Yeah, right, there's like people around these parts don't really use money anyway, so it's like, or like you can, like, these people really have the look that if you came at them and you were like, ah, give me all your fish, they'd probably just like put it down and like try to like move away from you.
Okay. Well, it's not like I'm going to attack anyone, but
sure.
Could go for some fish.
Yeah, nobody's really that concerned. This place seems weirdly idyllic as far as that goes.
I am a relatively large being with a sword on each hip, so.
Sure. Steven, you can go ahead and roll a bluff check for Orem to see how well he hides his Eldrin-ness.
All right, what is my bluff here?
Nat one, sure, it's just great. Be nice, Matthew.
And you can add a plus one to the roll since you specifically, because this is actually literally how it works in the rules, I believe. Since you specifically narrated him like covering himself up,
yep.
You can
tucks his ears up under his hat.
Yep.
Puts on his dark sunglasses.
Yep.
25.
That's not terrible.
They believe that you are Chinese and had an accident with a rice picker.
Little Sparkle, you can give me a, say streetwise or diplomacy, whichever one you prefer.
It will be streetwise, is that slightly better?
Yeah.
That one will do always a natural to reroll that.
Okay.
These are not your streets.
Yay.
It's been a while.
Reroll abilities.
I'm not in touch with, like, you know, Southern Continent streets. There we go. There
that'll
go.
Be a, the slang.
That'll be a 41. Yes.
Hey, cool cats.
Yes.
Yep.
How's up, patio?
Yep.
Greetings,
Little Sparkle.
Gate.
Little Sparkle walks up to them and everybody yells out, "Narc!" and runs away. No. Well, not because she got a reroll, so that no. That's a 41 on that. So, yeah, you know, people, you know, last they heard, Monster Town was still standing. Nothing major had happened. Everything's still the same. Lelo is still the mayor.
Great. All right, cool. Well, then I think we'll probably just resupply and get back on the ship.
Right. Okay. All right, you guys get back on the ship. And you travel down the river. Well, I guess technically up the river.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that. I'm going to picture Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
I was thinking more Heart of Darkness.
Wah.
Oh, Rob, don't be that guy.
Actually, you know, Apocalypse Now owes a lot to Heart of Darkness. And in fact, some believe that blah, blah, blah. Listen to Zach on film. So you guys travel down the river for quite some time. I mean, it's this place is not necessarily that close to the coast. Things you see that are maybe noteworthy. These rivers are full of critters, and they're very big. So you see some pretty big fish. You see some pretty big reptilian animals swimming around as well. You also see a lot of settlements, and you see some ships. Kind of going back and forth. Definitely the vegetation in this area is very different from most of the things that you'd find in the Central Continent. There's a lot more palm tree type plants, not a lot of evergreens and or like conifers. You basically don't see any. You know, some broadleaf stuff, but not too much. It's kind of a very jungly area. Marshy as well. Yeah, after a few days.
If Little Sparkle sees any like fish or animals that are particularly good eating along the river, she might, you know, encourage stopping and trying to catch some.
Sure. You can, let's see, what do people use for that nature? You can give me a nature check.
I have a 17.
Okay.
Nature probably won't poison us.
Yes.
Probably.
Little Sparkle gets excited about a particular fish and manages to catch it. And when she pulls it up on board, it is probably about the size of a human hand from the kind of wrist to the tip of the middle finger. It's, you know, pretty small fish. And she doesn't manage to catch anymore, so there's kind of this like, well, so you have one and it's tiny. What are you gonna do with it?
I don't know. Cook it and everyone gets a bite.
No, you can have it.
Are there others?
Probably, but that's the only one I caught.
Do we see any others?
Yeah, you see others.
I'm going to sling my sword at them and have it impale them and fly back to my hand.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay, you can give me a nature check.
Oh, here we go.
What's my nature? Oh, crap, my nature is good. Did you guys know
you would
that
hope.
On page 4 of the character sheet, there's a list of your skills? Wow. I just saw that. 26.
That's pretty good. Sakaar manages to catch enough fish for everyone to eat. You guys have a little fish fry on the Baroness.
Yay, fish fry!
Got another sword we can cook them with.
Yay, fish kebabs!
So you guys continue down the river, or I guess up the river.
I'm sorry, never mind. Continue on the river.
Yes.
Across the river.
Yes.
It's preposition time on Critical Hit.
That's
on
right.
Critical Hit. Get it?
Yep. So, yes. A river time is had. So, eventually, whoever's at the helm, we'll say it's probably Randus, spots what looks to be some kind of maybe like guard tower type thing. It's just a platform. And there's some sort of weird creature standing on top of it.
Hey, little Sparkle, there's a tower up ahead. Would that be one of the denizens of a monster town there?
If it looks like a monster, then probably. She'll, like, come up to the bow and take a look.
Yeah. Off over there, there's, like, a little spy tower, and on top of it is, you know, one of those monster town monsters. It's got, like, a huge muscly torso with like a little head that kind of comes to a point. It's hard to tell any more details from this distance.
All right, so I guess we're getting close.
Yep. So yeah, we can cruise in, I would say. I mean, they might like, I don't think they're stopping ship traffic from, or would I be wrong in that they, like, would they let ship traffic through?
If it's a ship they haven't seen in a while, or they haven't seen, they might, but it would just be a question of sorting things out. More than likely, at worst, they'll probably, the most likely thing to happen is that they'll escort you into port. And then immediately start asking you questions.
That is totally fine. I was basically going to try to seek an audience with the mayor anyways, so.
Okay.
All right.
So you guys continue in. Yep. This is about late afternoon as you guys are pulling in. And as you approach, you start kind of seeing some stuff in the water with you. There are some kind of maybe horse-sized creatures swimming along with your ship.
There appear to be like large fish or other aquatic monster town residents.
Yeah, these are river guards specifically. For all of you, but probably more pressingly for Orym, Ket, and Randus, there's something that's very recognizable about these creatures. They kind of have this kind of like pastel, kind of sherberty look to their skin. and they move in ways that are really kind of gratingly familiar. These things really, really, really remind you of lunar monsters, as a little Sparkle pointed out for good reason.
Sort of eelish and monkey-like all at the same time.
Yep.
Do we kill them now?
I think these are the reason the town has its name.
No killing. No killing.
So just wait. Please. These used to be regular people and then they turned into these things?
Yes.
They didn't hatch from eggs?
I mean, I guess maybe if they were like young ones, they might have. I don't really know. If they've been, I mean, I assume that they're still, you know, having kids. But no, I mean, the place used to be called Lekla, and it was just a town. And this is why the Salamander's Coil, in case we didn't have further evidence, is terrible.
Mm. Yeah.
So, as you guys continue down the river, this one of these things pulls up in front of the boat, and these little kind of tentacly things come out of its back and kind of start glowing. And it kind of starts moving in a slightly different direction. It's very likely that this thing wants you to follow it.
I'll encourage Brandis to steer it in nothing's direction.
All right, yep, I'll follow the lead.
Okay, so you guys dock, and at this dock, there is a person there waiting for you. It is a lady maybe in her 40s. She is wearing some pretty simple robes and has big gauges in her ears. Kind of dark skin, not super dark. Brown eyes, brown hair. And is holding a book and a quill.
Little Sparkle will step off, say, hello, ma'am.
Hi. We don't have you registered. Can you tell us what your business is here in Monster Town?
My name is Little Sparkle. I believe both, I was hoping to meet with Orange Run or Lalo.
Let me check if you're in my book here. Oh, yep, here you are. If you just want to go ahead, we can secure your boat here. You can just, you know where Lelo's office is.
I do, unless he's moved in the last few months.
No.
Great, then, yep, sounds good. Thank you very much.
No problem. It's not every day I get to dock a celebrity.
She kind of smiles and nods. All right, boys, let's go. You guys have everything you need?
I think so.
Believe so. Checks, make sure he's got his swords.
Yep.
So we follow Little Sparkle, whose name we're not supposed to shout out loud in the streets.
Yes.
Hey, Little! Sorry. Perhaps she needs an alias for her alias.
I will start heading towards Layla's office.
Okay. So a few things that stand out about Monster Town. First off, there's monsters. Mm-hmm. They are, in fact, again, eerily reminiscent of lunar monsters. There tends to be a general shape to them with like these kind of very big chest and like forearms. They're quadrupeds, and then like a small head that either ends in like kind of a point or like in a point with like some tentacles coming out of it. A lot of them don't appear to have eyes, or maybe their eyes are just like the same color as whatever skin happens to be close. Some of them do have drastically different things, like, you know, fins or sails. Or, you know, a phagomizer at the end of their tail or something. So
what? The end of their tail?
A phagomizer. It's a pronged extension named after Thag Simmons, the caveman who was killed by it. This is true, isn't it, Rodrigo? Tell them.
Well, half of that is true, definitely. Yeah, basically.
You can't use the term and then tell me that I'm.
Yeah, basically, it's what a. And I'm blanking on the name.
Ankylosaurus?
Stegosaurus.
Yeah, what a stegosaurus has at the end of its tail, like all those little spikes.
Oh, okay. Like a prongy spike thing.
Yep. A phagomizer.
Yeah,
named
a phagomizer.
I had no idea there was a proper name for that.
Named actually for the late Thag Simmons.
Yep.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because it's really funny.
Knowledge is power, young lady.
And knowledge is how you know things.
So, other things after you get over the monsters that you might notice around. A lot of humans. Plenty of Kenku. A handful of minotaurs. So, you know, big, tall humanoids with basically cow heads, you know, hooves on their feet. Or I guess hooves instead of normal human feet. And everybody's just the dress around here seems very eclectic. There are people who are just wearing robes, people that are wearing full-on armor, people that appear to be wearing probably regalia, obviously for no real kingdom or association that you guys recognize. There's just kind of a little bit of everything. Other things that you guys begin to notice as you walk through this town. What you might have at first thought were oil lamps are in fact simply glowing orbs that are attached to poles. And is in fact probably, you know, a bit of an impressive sight to see outside of, you know, something like the Astral Sea or something that basically this town is lit by magic orbs, like the way that you would have street lamps in a city. And then probably
the lightning rocks or something else.
These are actually, these are like specifically kind of like all over the place because, most of these have probably been stolen from other places. So you get some that are just orbs that would be used in like New Mawakal or, you know, orbs that might be used to like set up camp or something else. So they're just kind of like a little bit of everything. It does give the streets like this weird kind of look where you're like walking around and there's kind of like this blue hue to the area, and then you walk under another one and everything looks gold. And then lastly, the ground appears to be as though it was cut from a single slab of stone. There are no
seams,
partitions. Yeah, no seams, no interfaces between them. Most of the sidewalk that you're walk looking down basically seems to be cut out of a single piece of stone.
Wow. That is impressive work.
So
yeah, I don't know why you guys walk on like your roads back in the central continent. They're so, I don't know, bumpy.
Huh. That's neat. I have to see how this is done.
Yeah. I don't really know the engineering of it.
Craftsmanship, that's what it is.
And probably a little bit of alchemy and magic too.
Which requires craftsmanship.
I suppose he's not wrong.
Sure.
So as you guys continue to walk, you see a young man coming towards you. He can't be more than 30, definitely. He has short cropped hair, and is wearing essentially a very nice kind of green and brown poncho. He has a well-kept beard, basically a Fu Manchu, relatively thin eyebrows. Also, his ears kind of stick out. Light brown skin, and has a couple other people with him, just kind of keeping pace.
Is this Lalo?
Yep, Little Sparkle recognizes him as Lalo.
Little Sparkle will give him a little bow.
He does a quick bow back. Well, Little Sparkle. Nobody told me you were coming.
Oh, well, we just showed up.
That's good. Who are the ducklings?
This?
You know what? Don't tell me. Kind of far from your just walk with me. You're kind of far from your haunt, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I took a bit of a trip to the central continent and just heading back home this way.
The central continent sounds.
Yeah.
It's from what I hear of what's been going down out east, that's probably a great time to take a vacation.
That bad, huh?
It's pretty bad. I mean, obviously, we rarely ever feel it, but definitely all the caravans that we see through here, the coil is up in arms.
Yep, that's what my trip was about. I don't suppose you've seen anyone else from my league anytime soon or heard from him?
Last I heard, Big Teach was back in the thick of it. The way, I was sorry to hear about Prince Flowers.
What happened? You know, I haven't heard anything since I left.
He kind of stops in his tracks. And he's like, oh... I'm sorry, I assumed you'd heard. He got prized.
I figured as much. He was supposed to be guarding these, she points at Randis, that duckling here, but never made it.
Well, I'm real sorry. I didn't mean for you to hear it that way. You know what? And he, basically you guys walk up to, the biggest building in town. It is kind of this round... basically a building with a little tiny cupola kind of thing going. It's like, this is a government building in a small town kind of look. he's like, here, just come with me. And he kind of waves his aides away. you guys can tell that he's wearing kind of some kind of long sleeve get up underneath, long sleeves, boots and stuff. You can see it under his poncho as he motions. So you guys walk in. There's a big kind of waiting area. He walks right into an office, opens a drawer and pulls out these three scroll cases and puts them on his desk. And he's like, here, why don't you take these? I actually spent a pretty penny on them and I was hoping to turn them around, but this is basically something Flowers got out before things went south, apparently. And he like pushes them towards you. Apparently the coil has some mostly functional high-speed submersible devices.
What? As if they weren't dangerous enough already. Are these plans?
Yep. That's what he got before they got him.
Do you know who specifically chomped him?
I don't. But I'm sure if you ask around, you can find out who the project leader was.
Will do. All right. That's a shame. All right. Well, then I'm going to want to get back as soon as possible to meet up with Teach if you say he's still in. What else do you know? We're chasing a guy that the coil kidnapped. That's why I went to the Central Continent to begin with. Former agent of theirs that ran away, had some really, really dangerous intel, and they wanted him back. And
yeah,
they got him back.
I haven't heard about any imports, but it really seems like the coil is being very proactive right now, so whatever it is they're doing, it's not done, if that tells you anything. They're on pretty high alert.
All right, good. That means we still have time. We went out because it was full on. They were eating their own agencies to pursue this. So if they haven't figured it out yet, then that is only good for us. All right. Any other specific assets you've heard about?
Nothing that I can think of other than rumor has it they're basically trying to save face on their elf slavery project. So they're kind of starting to move more locust tanks out that direction.
Ugh, that's great. Well, that'll probably... What do you mean by safe space? Were they being interrupted by a different guild?
No, actually, last I heard, it was a completely unaligned agent. There was this probably elf. Anyway, they called her the Mountain Ghost, and she just wrecked their operation. But it sounds like they're trying to salvage some part of it. So I don't know exactly what that means. It might just be the locations, but yep. Apparently, they'd been kind of just stealing and enslaving elves for a while, and some lady showed up and just upended the whole thing.
Well, I mean, I knew about the slavery. That's how Flowers got into this whole mess anyways. Do you know where, like which forest she was coming out of? Because if a free agent is making that much trouble for them, I'd love to meet her.
These are the mountain elves. They're up in your neck of the woods, somewhere between Balambolon and New Mawakal.
Yeah, that's on our way anyways. All right, definitely worth checking out. Thanks for the intel.
Hey, no problem. Let me put you guys up for the night, all right? Like,
you're
a big deal in Flowers, you know, basically a national hero here, so... while you're here, I don't want you spending a dime.
We can have a drink to him tonight.
That'd be nice. Let me get your stuff set up. If you want to talk to your friends here, you can use my office. And he just gives everybody a quick wave and walks out.
Thanks, Layla. Little Sparkle just sits down and kind of looks exhausted.
Well, that was... where to begin? Someone's enslaving elves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's been going on for years. Prince Flowers was a really, really good friend of mine. And he got involved because his dad got taken by the coil.
Hmm.
I guess he never got his justice. Shame. Real shame. Well, that explains why he never got to warn you, Randos.
Yeah, sorry for about your friend.
It's okay. The risk we all run. Teach must be a wreck. But yeah, no, I guess I would say we should probably try to meet up with this elf, see what she's up to. If we're going to need all the help we can get, and if she's got a bone to pick with the coil, maybe she can team up. I'm going to need some more muscle in the Free Enterprise now if Flowers really is dead.
Did I hear correctly that the Salamander's coil has high-speed underwater vehicles?
Yep, that's new, but doesn't surprise me.
I wonder if they use those to travel to Coldport.
Sure, that can make some sense. Especially if they were able to disguise themselves as a conventional ship so that they could park at the marina that they rented.
Well, if you guys recall, I'm pretty sure this is the way it went.
I'm pretty
the
sure
guy at the marina was like, yeah, these guys just rented the marina and then they didn't put anything there.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Even better.
I remember that.
So, yeah, that sounds likely, considering that I got there the short way around through the Feywild.
So everyone here knows that the Salamander's Coil is the bad guys, right? Or do they like them here?
No one likes the coil. I mean, there are lots of people that work for the coil because they are one of the biggest employers on the continent and because they're incredibly powerful and because fighting them is crazy. It's like, I don't know, you ever have like a really, really bad king, but like he's still the king and so you kind of have to deal with it?
No.
I've dealt with some bad leadership in my time.
Yeah, like imagine that he's got like, I mean, they've got tons and tons of power, basically armies worth of it, advanced magic and technology. And so, you know, it's one of those things where kind of everyone can agree they're bad, but only a few people actually do anything about it.
And I'm sure that anyone who resists is quickly put down.
It's quickly. If they can catch them, then yes.
So what's the plan then?
I don't know. Like I said, I think it's probably worth it. It's on our way anyways. We meet up with this mountain elf, I guess, and see what is going on, if she's got any intel on the coil's current goings on. They enslave elves for like magical and alchemical purposes, so if they're trying to step up and push their game there, then there might be something that they need. And then we go back to New Mahuakal and try to meet up with Big Teach, see what he knows, and then try to hit the Salamander's coil as hard as we can.
Agreed. Whatever we do, we need to make certain that we're not attracting any more attention than necessary.
I mean, that it's hard to attack too much attention in New Mahuatl. It's just, it's a huge city. But
that's good.
Just, I guess, follow my lead. Stay cool. Aurum, definitely stay disguised. Eladrin are not common here.
Puts on his shades. Okay.
We beautiful. Might want to look into a more permanent disguise.
Yeah, if we can get another one of those hats, that would be sweet.
So do you think you could make one, Randus?
I could look into it. But, you know, secure the materials and everything.
Well, we might be able to get some of the materials here. We could definitely get anything you need in the city.
All right.
Well, my plan for the immediate present is to get very drunk.
I'll second that.
Well, I've never been drunk, but it sounds fun.
Seriously, never
sidelong glance from Ket.
What?
Are you, like, magically incapable of getting drunk? Because it might make you seem
I don't think I've ever experienced it, so how would I know?
All right. Challenge accepted.
Just, like, staring.
All right. So you guys leave the office and you find an aide there. And like, oh, I can take you to the inn if you are all ready.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
You are taken to a pretty nice place. It's just, you know, kind of this big... you know, just big rectangular building, nothing real fancy about it, but there's a warm glow coming from inside. When you guys step in, you find that this place is pretty crowded. Mostly humans, a few Kenku, and actually a couple of monsters hanging out. People are drinking and eating. The aide takes you to the counter and is like, "Oh, these are your guests." And he's like, "Oh, yeah. You guys get the diplomatic package, I guess. So here are your room keys, and whatever you eat is on Lalo, so order away." Oh, and drink. So you're drinking for free, too.
5 flagons of your finest ale. And something for my friends.
All right. Do you want bee ale or ant ale?
Bee.
Do I know what the difference is between those two?
Sure. It's basically whether they're pollinated by bees or ants. It's one of those things. It's like being a wine connoisseur. It's like nobody can tell the difference. But
fair enough. I just want to make sure he wasn't getting, like, you know, incredibly strong beer versus, like, the non-alcoholic beer.
Now, if they ask you whether you want bee mead or ant mead, that makes a big difference.
The exoskeleton.
Ants don't make very good mead.
Yeah. All right. So is that just for you, or is that for everybody?
Well, I'm sure they'll want something.
That's nice. Okay. What would you like, miss?
Something very strong.
Okay. Well, we just got a fancy new batch of cactus burn, if you're into that.
I am definitely into that. They don't have that where I was from, and... In fact, can we get a shot of that for everyone?
Certainly.
Thank
you. We'll start you off there, and then we'll see.
That's great.
He brings 5 ales for Sakaar and a shot of cactus burn for everybody, which is just a kind of a clear, slightly yellowish liquid.
Orms throws it back. Mmm. Tastes like burning.
It does. You know, every once in a while you'll have alcohol and think to yourself, man, that goes down easy, but this goes down hard.
Yeah, Cigar has to take strong. His shot in order to pick up his drink, so take a shot.
Well,
gather the drinks.
Sparkle will raise her shot, and either gesture for everyone to steal one of Sakaar's drinks that if they've already taken their shot and just say, to lost friends.
Lost friends.
Two lost friends.
Friends.
Yeah, that sounds like a good spot to stop this week. Yes. Yes, indeed. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to these adventures. Oh, Monster Town. I don't know, Rob.
Look, there's free food and drink. It's not
free
that
food,
bad.
Ooh. Free food and drink has made Monster Town phenomenally better.
Come to Monster Town for the free food and drink.
Stay for the monsters.
Kill your friends. All right, everybody. Podcast at majorspoilers.com. Use the hashtag critical hit if you've got things to share on the Twitter. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.